Once again, here on the Mark Steiner Show, we present a very important new program from WEAA, the Hip Hop Chronicles. The Hip Hop Chronicles are a public radio hip hop mix show that's produced right here out of WEAA 88.9 FM by our very own Mike Knights Middleton. It airs Monday through Friday from midnight to 2 a.m. This show includes hip hop audio documentaries, this day in hip hop history facts, exclusive one-on-one interviews with artists, new music, album reviews, plus classic and old school music. It also addresses the political and social issues that affect the hip-hop generation with in-depth conversations with political analysts, social activists, and community leaders, blended with current and classic socially conscious music. The Hip-Hop Chronicles recently was honored by the City Paper's Best of Baltimore issue with Best Remix Award. It's a great show. We're lucky to have it here on WEAA, and we're proud to play it here on The Mark Steiner Show.
Beats, knowledge, flavors, the Hip Hop Chronicles, that mix show designed with public radio in mind. I'm Mike Nice. Welcome to the show. Tonight we have a special show and we're going to talk about education and hip hop and how they go hand in hand. As you know, education reform has become a huge national debate. Standardized testing, charter schools, and STEM, which is now called STEAM because they added the arts part of it, has become the leading topic of conversation. In the studio right now with us is Dr. Jeff Menzie, who is an associate professor here at Morgan State University for the Institute of Urban Research and author of Dumbing Down: Reflection on the Miseducation of the Negro. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, bro. Glad to be here, man.
All right, and thanks for agreeing to come in on this topic. We really appreciate you, all you do for the university. And let's get straight to it. So, hip-hop and education. Well, first, tell me about your educational experience.
All right, well, my background is in clinical psychology. That's what my degrees are in. And I have a pretty extensive background in hip-hop as well. As an undergrad, I started an entertainment company called What Up Entertainment, working for the advancement and development of urban people. Nice. And I used to throw parties, you know, started off DJing, got on the radio, was on the radio for about 10 years doing a hip-hop show, and then switched up and started doing reggae and eventually evolved into talk show. Okay. In addition to that, man, you used to throw showcase concerts, showcasing local talent. Big names came through, you know, been on stage with Jay-Z, you know,
nice.
Somebody brought in the Fist, Outkast a couple years, rap beatboxing for me in the background while I'm freestyling.
Dub rap?
Concert. Yeah,
dub really?
Rap. Yeah,
word?
Yeah,
that's
man.
My girl.
Yeah, man, she go hard, man. Yeah. Brought her for a homecoming one year. So, I mean, I'm born and raised in hip-hop.
Okay.
Kind of evolved as I got older, shifting my perspective, especially as I began to learn more from the psychological perspective. As I continued to mature and grow some more and became an educator, I started seeing how being native to the hip-hop culture, how it can actually assist me in reaching, you know, a lot of the youth that I work with. I worked in D.C. public schools as a school psychologist, clinical psychologist with children that were in foster care and adjudicated from the juvenile justice system. And then also, you know, just in the street. And it's allowed me to maintain a certain authentic and genuine connection with my folks. You know, because it's kind of like, you know, a surgeon. You can read all the books on surgery you want to, but it's got to be something in you to give you that skill. And that's what I see as far as how some of us are able to use hip-hop to educate even a therapeutic modality at times. I mean, I've used it in a whole lot of my clients. I call them my little brothers and little sisters, you know, on many different levels. And it's really helped to bridge a gap. You know, it really helps to bring a child from where they are to a better place.
How do you see hip-hop integrated into the classroom of, like, the lower-level schools?
I see hip-hop being brought into the classroom in a very authentic way. I mean, it can't be some plastic, you know, method of somebody, you know, reading a couple books or watching a couple of videos on BET, a couple of reruns of Yo MTV Raps or something, and saying, you know, yo, I am hip-hop buddies, you know, coming in like that. It can't work that way.
It can't be clownish.
It has to be authentic.
Okay.
You know, because our children are authentically where they are, you know, and although it's a certain brand of hip-hop that many of them are exposed to, you know, exposed to through popular culture, they still have that sense of authenticity. So I am an advocate for it, but it has to be done right. You know, I mean, I've seen Bun B, you know, up in New York teaching a class at one of the Ivy League joints on hip hop.
Wow.
You know, and that's amazing to me.
Why? At a college?
Yes, Professor Bun B. He goes hard though, you know, because he's got the gift. To spit. You know, and his subject matter is on point. He's very intelligent.
Wow, Bun B.
Yeah, I would never have guessed it. But that's how you can see the movement happening. But I still take issue with it occurring on that level, because if you look at his audience, you know, it's not the inner city child that's receiving the insight from this OG.
Right, so that right there means it was a different agenda right there.
It could be.
So he's giving them the knowledge so they can take and, you know, put into the corporate world, maybe make sales or something else. It's not to, like you say, the therapeutic thing you mentioned before was genius, because even though we don't realize we've been doing it forever,
yeah,
when we always had a problem, we put on that headphones and we relax ourselves, we get our mind right.
Yeah.
But what he's doing in the classroom may be to expand the hip hop culture on another angle.
Yeah, and I feel he's genuine, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, he's right.
He's that OG, like, yo, mm-hmm. Bun B, UGK, mm-hmm. I got this opportunity to come and spit and show that, you know, we are intellectual, we are human, you know what I'm saying? I'm a person like y'all, or I got heart, mm-hmm. you know, and this is my chance to shine and put hip hop on a bigger scale. And mm-hmm. but you know, I don't think I would love for that to happen somewhere like Baltimore.
Right.
You know?
Right. Now they do, I know a couple of people do have classes that are taught in the educational system, but yeah. Like my man Cariz Marcel has Cariz Kids. But what they do is they teach a program called Music Plus Math Equals Money. Mm. And they actually show the kids how to, the children, how to produce beats and actually make those sales. For those of you who are tuned in, you're listening to the Hip Hop Chronicles. I'm Mike Nice. In the studio with me is Dr. Jeff Minzy, and we've just been joined by hip hop artist, community activist, and youth advocate, Brother Easy Jackson. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good, man. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, great. Thanks for joining us. And me and Dr. Minzy were just talking about just the whole... first, let's get a background on you. I know that you are an advocate for adding the hip-hop to the educational curriculum. Like, you know, let's talk more about that, more of your works with that, and why you think that'll be a benefit to our children.
Yeah, I'm an MC by nature. I do a couple other things, but you know, not just hip hop, but adding the arts. You know, so I'm into. I know there's STEM. Mm-hmm. You know, there's science, technology, engineering, math. Mm-hmm. But I think science, technology, engineering, arts, and math is the way it should go, from STEM to STEAM. Arts ties everything in together.
Right.
And so whether it's hip-hop, whether it's music or visual arts or dancing or any type of artistic expression, if you can tie that into education, you can engage students better.
Nice. Okay. Give me a little bit of background on you, like your education, your works, your musical works.
Well, I went to the Baltimore School for the Arts.
Okay.
For education, I was not accepted by any of the elite Baltimore high schools. Mm. My zone school was Douglas, and
okay.
I lived in the 800 block of Harlem Avenue, right up the street from Murphy Homes. So my mother and me and my whole family knew that if I'd have went to Douglas, I would not have made it through high school. So we did everything we could to get me in the school for the arts. I came in with the most powerful piece I could, auditioned, and was exposed to a whole other world. And, you know, being a Baltimore boy from the hood, from the projects, like, the arts changed my life. Not just music, but the arts. So that's my background. That's where I come from. I've taught in the schools. I've taught in Cariz Kids. We just talked about Cariz Kids last year. I taught at Patterson Park Public Charter School and Tinch Kilman.
Okay, nice.
With Cariz Kids. Shout out to Cariz. Shout out to Dev Murray. And shout out to my man Corday. Me and Corday work with these kids. Mm-hmm. And teaching them, you know, that math, you know, math plus music equals money. You know what I'm saying? Because Cariz is a producer. I'm a touring artist. You know what I mean? So we get the whole, we get the whole
picture. You see how
we get
it's
the
done.
Whole picture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we would play certain games with them that really engaged them. One of my favorites was tour. We would line out the tour and we give them. They would pick in the bag. And say, you know, have these random scenarios that happen to them on tour.
Like, so, give them a per diem and...
Yeah, yeah, like, oh, yo, like Sprite wants to endorse you. So that's $25,000 or whatever. But then, you know, somebody else might pick something like, yo, y'all just got in a big-ass fight, a big fight outside of love in D.C. So... the owner is suing you for $15,000. So now you back $15,000.
Real talk.
You know what I mean? So all that stuff is like, it's very relative, but at the same time, it engages them and makes them think on a different level that, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's not just me jumping out there doing the music, but I have to think about the business, too, and I have to think about how this benefits me and my family, you know, and that type of thing. And they love it, man. And through that, like, working at Tim Stillman, like, I actually got to learn a lot about Young Moose, because that's his neighborhood.
Is it?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's
big
his neighborhood.
Big shout out to the movie Tim Stillman. I did a DJ class over there one time for Creative Alliance. Nice.
Yeah, Tim Stillman is dope, man. You know what I mean? There was a time I used to live right up the street in McElderry, and my zone school then was Commodore John Rogers. But, yo, that hood is like, yo, like people look at it from the surface and they say, well, Young Moose is doing trap rap or whatever. But, like, no. Yo, Young Moose is an entrepreneur. He inspires those kids. For the first time in my whole life of being a hip-hop artist in Baltimore City and being a teaching artist as an adult, for the first time in my life this past year working with careers kids, I walked into classrooms where when I asked them who their favorite MC was, they said a Baltimore rapper.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They said Young Moose. You feel me?
That's a good thing.
That's crazy. I had to go back and listen to his music after mm-hmm. that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, I get it. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, yo, this is a powerful thing. If we can just pull back and not be so restricting of the artist, but understand their path and how they got there, and allow them to engage with the students, like, that's crazy inspiring.
And that's dope. And you touched on something I was going to ask you about, is like, how was it received? And you said it was, you know, the program that you were involved in with careers, it was received well with them. From Dr. Minzy, from your perspective, like, you know, what other, now this is a math portion of it, what other part of hip-hop, and that's actually the math and the business portion, what other part of hip-hop do you think could be instituted in the current curriculum to help the kids, something that they'll grasp, like something that they'll take to? What do you think?
I look at it as, I mean, I would use hip-hop as a tool to deliver any subject.
Okay.
Like, so for example, my wife, okay, she's a teacher.
Okay.
And she taught a lesson the other day on, she taught a chemistry lesson on mm-hmm. matter, you know, and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. played a rap for the kids about matter, you know, solids, liquids, and gases.
Did she make the rap up?
Nah, she ain't make it up. She could have, though. I'm pretty sure she could have did it, but she ain't do that one.
Okay.
There's actually a website, you know, that I'll share with you.
Okay.
But it's like something like Flocabulary or something like that.
Okay.
But they got various subjects where they actually deliver them hip-hop style. We watched one this morning about the phases of the moon. You know, real dope.
Nice.
So I just say you use it as a tool to deliver the message, because what happens is that if the teacher is not speaking the language of the class that they're teaching, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, or the people that are sitting in the class, then something's going to get lost in translation.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all our kids speak the language of hip hop right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't care what mm-hmm. the subject is. And we can have master chemists, we can have master mm-hmm. biologists if we deliver the information properly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at music, music taps into both hemispheres of the brain. All right.
Okay.
So, you know, you've got the for example, it's not an instrument that exists that you don't use both hands.
Right.
And so even DJing, you got your two turntables, you still got one on each side.
Mm-hmm.
And that forces both hemispheres to be active. If mm-hmm. you're playing piano, if you read music on a sheet, you know, whatever it is you're doing, if you're beatboxing, don't matter what it is, you're engaging both hemispheres of the brain, which increases the capacity to think.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives you other things to anchor the memories to. And so if a child has a beat and they're flowing these lyrics, it don't matter what the lyrics are. Now just make the lyrics something about chemistry, something about mathematics,
mm-hmm.
something about,
mm-hmm.
you know, biology.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way they remember, you know, Young Jeezy song or Talib Kweli song.
The Moose.
Young Moose song is the same way they'll remember the lesson.
We're just talking offline, talking about some of the practical uses of hip hop in the classroom. And I want to know, how do you see it being used in the classroom, aside from, you know, the other ways we talked about? But how have you used it in the classroom to educate your students?
Yeah, so I've taken new movie clips, videos, clips, mm-hmm. lyrics
mm-hmm.
For critical thinking exercises. So,
mm-hmm.
for example, I use a you know, whatever song, I pick a song, let mm-hmm. the kids analyze the lyrics, tell me what they're talking about. And another way of if we're doing like a social skills development course, I would put two columns up on the board. One column says life, the other column says death. And I would say, okay, ask people, who's your favorite artist? Who's the hottest artist out right now? You know, and they would throw out an artist's name. I said, okay, based on their lyrical content, which column would you put them in, life or death?
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have to really think about the content you know, and the message that's being delivered, and then they themselves classified in one of the two columns. I'm not doing it.
Wow.
And so at the end of that classification, because the kids did it themselves, they have to sit back and they have to own it now. And I say, okay, so which column would you want to be in? Would you want to put yourself in the life column or the death column? Not saying, do you want to roll with these artists or these artists, but you yourself. What is it that you want to experience, life or death? Mm-hmm. You know, and almost 10 times out of 10, they're going to drop themselves in that life column. And it's just an exercise to kind of make them think. Now, therapeutically, what I've done is I've had children, you know, hard life coming up, you know, certain things they've experienced. Mm-hmm. And I would have them, like, write a rap, write a song about how their life is. And I would tell them to remix it based on how they want it to be. And, like, we would literally, like, make tracks for them. You know, if we didn't make a track, we would bring in instrumentals. And they would actually perform the original version in a remix. And that's a part of goal setting.
Dope.
You
that's
know what
dope.
I mean? Uh-huh. And so they take that and they say, okay, so I have these goals in my life. So say, for example, if they come up and they've been broke all their life. So the remix now, they you know, they're getting paid. They're wealthy. So what are steps that we could take to make that real? How can we take your life from the original version to the remix?
Mm.
You know, step by step. And so it helps them to start planning and it gets them out of this immediate life. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, I mean, it's psychologically proven that if you could get a person constantly fighting to meet their basic needs, then they don't have time to really plan for the future. In fact, some don't expect the future and many don't even want a future. Mm-hmm. And so if you can get them outside of that box of thinking, then you can help with the planning, the expanding, and the shifting the behavior to something that's a little more healthy for themselves.
Wow, that's deep because, you know, so many people, so many youth, male youths in the hood, they often say, you know, they didn't expect to live to a certain age and they didn't expect to go anywhere or be anything.
Yep.
And that right there would break that whole cycle. It'll help.
It starts chipping away at it.
Yeah, nice,
and that's what we need, man. I mean, it's a big setup, man. It ain't, you know, it's beyond the scope of what we're talking about right now, man.
Right. Right. And that's crazy what you just said. That was a gym because you said if you tie somebody's brain up thinking about how they're going to survive day to day, they don't have time to plan.
Yep.
That's crazy. Easy question for you. So, in addition to the math project that you worked on, and putting that into the school systems, like what other parts, being you an artist, what other parts of like your life and, you know, your knowledge of hip hop would you implement into the curriculum to help the kids advance?
I mean, for me right now, what I do is, and I think, you know, my suggestion to any adults listening that are dealing with youth whatsoever is what I've done is I've tried to never forget where I was at that age. You know, you spoke just now about, you know, not believing you would make it to a certain age. I can vividly remember not believing I would make it past 16. You know what I'm saying? I remember very vividly, like, my 16th birthday waking up and going, yo, you know what? I can do this now. And a couple years ago, one of my old teachers hit me on Facebook. And she told me about something that I didn't even remember. She was like, I remember you and Brandon making a rap about the periodic chart.
Dig that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And right when I read that message, I remembered the moment when I pushed her in class. Because I was not engaged. I did not like science. I was not at all interested. And I was like, and I remember saying, if I can't rap about it, I'm not interested.
You did?
Wow.
And she said, well, won't you rap about it then?
Huh.
Wow.
And she gave me and Brandon the opportunity, and me and him, we got together, and Grant, we put blunts in the air and everything. And we were so excited about it that we put together a rap.
Inspiration.
Yeah, we put together a rap about the periodic table, and we rocked the class.
Dude,
wow.
You know what I'm saying? So when she sent me that message, something clicked in me. I was like, wow, it was something in her at that point that remembered what it was to be a 16, 17-year-old in 11th grade not interested in science. You know what I'm saying? And this is where teachers clash with students because you're so focused on what you are bringing to teach them that you're not listening to them.
Right.
And you're forgetting that you yourself were once a teenager. You know what I'm saying? And so I think what I bring to the table is I'm constantly putting myself in their shoes. When I was doing Careers Kids last year, and I was doing the middle school at Patterson Park Public Charter School, we had some kids in there who liked to crack jokes. You know, anybody that know me know I'm the best joke cracker in the world. So I crack jokes with you.
Right, go back and forth.
You want to talk about my clothes, I'm going to talk about yours. Once I get you to laughing, then we're going to get back on the agenda.
There you go.
Then we're going to get back on the agenda.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to get back into the curriculum. You know what I'm saying? And the curriculum even has to be structured in a way that You know, we have, as adults, we have to make sure that we remember where we were at that point, but then also take into account where they are, because mm-hmm. now they have access to things that we didn't have. They have the internet, which is immediate. They have access to everything.
They got super research on their hands.
They got access to everything from porn to music videos mm-hmm. to, you know what I'm saying, whatever, at their fingertips. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to sneak in and put the tape player in and, like, you know what I'm saying, put the, you know, they don't have that. You know what I mean? Right. They just put their headphones on and log in.
Going out, you know,
so you got to remember that these kids are advanced, and they're heavy, and they're not afraid to hear the real from the adults. So mm-hmm. that's what I bring to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm you know, I'm not afraid to just meet them at their level and then try to bring them the way I am.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And it's something you said, that they're not afraid. One, you're right, they're not afraid. And then something you said earlier, they recognize when you're not keeping it real.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they have no hesitations on calling you
on
that.
Yo, that's why when Ms. Robinson was like, all right, we'll write the rap then. Mm-hmm. We was like, oh, all right.
That ain't nothing.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, if another teacher would have been like, whatever, no, you're not writing any raps in this class. And right. then I'd have been less engaged.
You'd have stayed detached.
Yeah, you'd have lost me.
You probably wouldn't have came to class then.
Right, exactly.
And see, in check now, see, the whole idea of education is twisted right now. So mm-hmm. a lot of educators think that education is to be pouring stuff in. It's mm-hmm. supposed to be filling a student with stuff.
Right.
And the real education is to bring out. Like, by definition, it's like mm-hmm. educate is to bring something out. Mm-hmm. And so the teacher mm-hmm. standing in front of a class mm-hmm. of 30 students should be seeing 30 potentials in front of them. And mm-hmm. that teacher's first task is to figure out, what is this child's purpose?
Who is that child?
Yeah, who is this person? Mm-hmm. Let me allow them to function as they function. And now it's my job as an educator to give it to them how they need to receive it.
Wow, that's deep.
And to honor what they have coming mm-hmm. to the table with.
Yep.
Wow.
I went to school with people who are now elected officials.
Mm, nice.
And when I think about that, you know, I have friends who are elected officials who are the same age as me. And when I think about that, I'm looking at my kids now and I'm saying, somebody in this room is the next senator. Sure. Somebody in this room is a future councilman. Somebody in this room is a future delegate. Somebody in this room is a future president of something.
Yes, man.
You know, and instead of looking at them as kids or children or problems, you know what I mean? Look at them as... truly look at them as future leaders and treat them that way. That's how I feel.
It's the same way a farmer looks at their seed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're looking at a pumpkin seed. It ain't a seed. This is a pumpkin vine that's going to produce and going to feed some folks.
Right. You know what I mean? You're going to be able to harvest and take to the market.
Now, exactly. And then get more seeds from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. And so that's the perspective. You know, I always say take the perspective of a farmer in life. You know, that's mm-hmm. that pen, and that's mm-hmm. that plan, that's that patience.
That's a gem right there.
You know what I mean?
Wow, because I'm looking at the seed like, man, what is this?
Right,
but the farmer's looking at it like, man, you don't know.
This is a crop, bro.
Yeah.
This is...
that's deep. Right. That was a gem right there. That was a gem.
And
yeah.
if they selling their crop, then they're like, oh, yeah, this is $50,000.
Yeah.
And then they think about next season, like, next season, I'm gonna do this, that, whatever, way to make it better. You know what I mean? It's like, that's how you got to go in.
Which goes back to... the planning with the taking the scenarios and getting that check from Sprite, and you were talking about, you know, living past a certain age. Because I know personally, going back to that, when I was coming up, you know, every black man was supposed to be either dead or in jail by 21.
That's right.
That kind of carried on, and it actually got lower. It was like 17, 18. So we need to give the children today vision, future. I'm going to ask you another question because we're running out of time here. But... you know, like you said, we need to look at the children in the classrooms instead of trying to pour stuff into them. We need to figure out who they are. Mm-hmm. At what age or what grade what age and grade do you think we should start that?
Oh, man, pre-K.
Early.
As early as possible. Whatever grade you're in, whatever grade you are blessed to be put in front of. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I know a lot of teachers. Mm-hmm. And some teachers go to work and they know that they have a responsibility to build the future.
Mm-hmm.
Some teachers go to work and they look at it like, I got to deal with these kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. But you got to look at it as like whatever age group you are blessed to be in front of,
mm-hmm.
that is an opportunity for you to build the future. We as adults, I think the average adult can remember at the most 5 teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 12 years of school and even more, you can remember 5 teachers. And every one of those teachers were teachers who made an impact on you. They took you to the side. They took time. They made jokes in class. They brought hip-hop into the, or whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever they did something to make you say, yo, I wonder how Mr. Evans is doing
right.
today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll see you from across the way and run.
That's
and
right.
be like, yo,
what's up?
I remember you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, yeah. do you remember me? Like, so any age group you're blessed to be in front of, you got to take that opportunity because that's the future.
Nice. And, Jeff Minji.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Jeff Minji.
I agree, man. You know, as young as possible. You know, the majority of civilizations and societies on this planet,
mm-hmm.
they find out their child's purpose prior to birth.
Mm.
Wow.
And it's real heavy, man. But, I mean,
wow.
if you check into some of these cultures,
what that's
mean, what
like,
they
like reading
doing.
The stars and the time yeah, of birth yeah. and they're conception.
At,
and...
They're looking at your lineage, your bloodline, you know.
And they raised them that way.
And their name is, they're named based on their mm-hmm. purpose.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. You're
their,
right.
their name translates into their life purpose.
True.
And so every time they hear their name called, every time a teacher has to call their name, they're mm-hmm. constantly reminded of what this child is here for. What's their disposition? You know, what's their temperament? Are they fiery? They earthy? They airy? They a water child?
I never thought a gym. That's another Bruh. Gym. I never thought about that.
And when you coming in like that, see that when we through the whole enslavement process, man, we lost more than just our language. We lost the culture,
lost
man.
Identity.
We lost our perspective
wow.
of reality. Mm-hmm. Our identity is at the core of that, man.
Yep.
And when you lose that, we're like blank chalkboards right now, still trying to figure out what used to be on there. Because you can see the dust that something was erased.
Yeah,
you
they know took
what
away
mean?
Something.
Yeah, something was there. And now, you know, we're scrambling in the dark trying to figure out what goes there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're missing our core operating system.
You look at American history, you look at the world history, yo. You have to open your eyes at some point and be like, well, why are black men so targeted? Why are we so intimidating to people?
Mm-hmm. Speak.
Why is it that police will kill us before they question us?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're kings.
Mm.
Mm. We are gods, but our history was erased. But somebody knows it.
Yeah, they do.
You know that
situation when a person has done wrong by somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and the person that's been wrong don't know who did it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the person who did it got to watch that person because they never know when they're gonna realize it.
Right,
they know
right.
that I'm the
never
one that scratched their car.
Right.
They know I'm that one that took their jelly beans. You know, they got to keep that eye on them. And they and if they have power. Do whatever they can to make sure that person would never wake up and realize.
That's right.
We can go on and we can go on. I have this article I want to talk to you all about, and I guess we'll do that next time. But Dr. Jeff Minji, I appreciate your time. Appreciate
right
you coming through.
Appreciate the invitation, man.
All right, not a problem. If anybody wants to reach you or get at you, how can they do so?
Website is mindonthematter.com. Email is drjeff@mindonthematter.com.
Okay, we're going to keep that in mind. We're definitely going to get you back.
Yes, sir. Anytime, man.
Brother Easy Jackson.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming through, man. You brought a lot just now. I mean, gems, y'all kept dropping gems upon gems. If people want to reach you or get at you, how can they do so?
Yo, Easy Jackson is spelled E-Z-E-J-A-C-K-S-O-N. I'm on Facebook. You can catch me on Twitter or Instagram at Easy Writer, E-Z-E-W-R-I-T-E-R, or easyjackson.com. But just Google me.
It's the Hip Hop Chronicles. Yeah. Y'all stay there.